Find your daily fix of women's mixed martial arts from the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship. Be in the loop, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your fix on women's MMA. We've got you covered on Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Tate.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
Wow, you didn't give me a chance to even introduce you. You just came in and just...
You paused, so I jumped in.
I feel like you like posted me up on the show.
Okay, start over. I'll let you introduce me this time.
No, never mind.
Okay, fine.
How are you doing there, Sarah?
I'm fine. How are you? It's almost the weekend.
It is definitely the weekend. I am looking forward to it. It's been kind of one of those long, stressful weekends. Weeks.
See, you don't even know what it is. It's been so stressful.
How crazy is it that, was it today? I thought it was Tuesday.
Yeah, you thought it was Wednesday, but I thought it was Tuesday yesterday, so we've been both off all week.
I have no clue how it can be Friday, and I think it's like Tuesday or Wednesday. I've been doing too many weekends, running into weekdays that I don't even know what day it is sometimes.
Yeah. Do you know what date it is?
Listen, Chris Wyman. I know.
February?
It is not February. It is April, and I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say April 14th.
You are correct.
So therefore, if I was Chris Wyman and I was fighting Gegard Mousafi, I'd be able to keep fighting.
Maybe.
So, and that goes right into what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about that pretty amazing UFC 210 card and some of the ramifications of that. Then we're also going to be talking about the UFC Fight Night in Kansas City this weekend, here this Saturday, which is the main event, Demetrius Johnson versus who is he fighting again?
Wilson Reyes. Hayes.
Yes.
I looked at the word and then I didn't pronounce it correctly because I looked at it instead of just remembering what it was.
I can't lie to you. I was just setting you up there because when you're talking Portuguese, it is always hard.
I always forget my H's are my R's are H's.
But for us, for the Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast, we are going to be talking about the co-main event, which is going to be the Karate Hottie versus Thug Rose. Looking forward to talking about that fight. Looking forward to seeing that fight. So we're going to be talking about that. We're also going to talk about the other fight on that card. Which one would that be?
That would be Ashley Evans-Smith versus, I can't read my own notes, Ketlin Vieira.
Yes. Now that's going to be on the undercard. It'll be an interesting fight, so we'll talk a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we have time, we will talk about the Bellator card, and there's a fight on the Bellator, I believe it's 177 card that is coming up that we'll touch on a little bit and not in a lot of detail. What is that fight?
Oh, sure. Leave it to me. Okay. So I'm going to give it my best shot here. Lena I tried this earlier and I had it. You do it.
No, I'm just going to go with Lena. I could Lena not.
Okunakova?
I had Okunakova as well, but when you're spelling a name Ovchynikova.
Because I'm going with the V being a W sound, so that would be the long O sound, but you know, Lena, we apologize profusely if you listen to this and hear us butchering your last name. We apologize.
I don't apologize at all.
I apologize.
You need a nickname like Thug Rose. and then we're talking about the fights from 210. Also, we're going to talk about some UFC and MMA news. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Okay, we're back, and now we're here to talk about, what are we going to be talking about here, Sarah?
We are going to be previewing UFC Fight Night, which is tomorrow, April 15th in Kansas City, and the main card is Demetrius Johnson versus Wilson Hayes, but we are going to be talking about the undercard, Michelle Watterson.
Or the co-main event.
The co-main event. Yeah, you know I can't. Okay, thank you. Don't let me speak.
Well,
the co-main event.
And what is that co-main event?
Why, let me tell you, Tate. It is Michelle Watterson versus Rose Namajunas.
All right. First off, let's talk about that main event real quick. Demetrius Johnson is about to do something that has never been done, well, that I thought would never be accomplished, and that is, he's going for his 10th title defense, which would tie him with, in my opinion, the greatest of all time, Anderson Silva. And it's one of those things where this should be a huge, huge deal. Instead, it's on UFC Fight Night. This should be, you know, on UFC New York, or one of the big giant cards. But for some reason, he's just one of those fighters that just has not grabbed, you know, the public's eye. But I'm super excited to see if he's going to actually break the record. I'm actually going to be talking about this fight on the MMA show a little bit. Nice little plug for that show.
Nicely done.
Thank you very much. Well, and so that's something that I think everyone should tune in and check out. Now, let's go to the one that you were just talking about, though.
The co-main event. I'll get
the
it right this time.
Co-main event. And this is, I'm telling you, this is going to be a great fight. You talk about two fighters that are, in my opinion, are so, so evenly matched up. You have Rose, who, Rose is tough. She's gritty. Well-rounded. Rose can take it to anyone. The one thing they both have in common is they both stop Paige VanZant. And then you have Michelle Watterson, the karate hottie. That is nice alliteration, I just have to say.
Actually, it's rhyming.
Wow. I say alliteration.
Alliteration is when two things start with the same letter. If it was like cutie karate or something, that would be k-k.
All right.
Welcome to the Golden State
karate,
Media
hottie.
Concepts Grammar Podcast.
All right. So Sarah
still,
got better grades than I did in college, I guess. Okay.
I still agree with you. I like the way that it rhymes, karate hottie. I
Thank
apologize
you very much.
For calling you
oh,
out.
Oh, no. Well, but... Michelle has been a super tough fighter for years. She's known for her karate kicks and everything, and throwing a lot of combinations, applying pressure. But just like Paige VanZant found out, her ground game is super tough as she submitted Paige. When I look at this fight and I say these are two, I mean, it's a take a coin, flip it in the air, and you know, whoever comes up heads is the winner. So I'm really looking forward to this one. I'll give you my pick after I hear what you have to say and who you think is going to win.
I agree. It's very, very close. I'm going to give a slight edge to Rose, just because I do think she's really tough. Not saying that Michelle isn't tough, but I'm just going to give a tiny edge to Rose. But, you know, what do you think?
Now, the winner of this is pretty much going to be, I think, you know, there's no question. The winner is going to be fighting with Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Oh yeah, Joanna's already called that. She says she's going to win her next fight. You know, that doesn't even seem to be like a blip on her radar. You know, she's going to win it, no problem, and then she's going to fight the winner of this fight, she has said. So
Joanna is like the tax man. She just takes her, just calculating numbers up, checking them off, and moving on to the next season.
Right. I mean, I know she's focusing on this next fight. Obviously, she is. She's training for it and everything. But it's like it almost doesn't even exist for her. She's just going to win it and move on.
Yeah, she's already licking her lips and ready to fight one of these two. So that's going to be an interesting fight. And like I said, the winner, you know, it's kind of wrong to say, you know, the winner gets Joanna, but I'm sorry, the winner gets Joanna.
So who you taking?
I remember watching, you know, I and it's kind of funny. I go back to watching Rose at Ultimate Fighter and just seeing how tough she was back when she was on Ultimate Fighter. But then I go to, you know, Karate Hottie, and I look at Michelle Waterson, and I look at how she was at Invicta. And I'm going to take Michelle Waterson. I would not even put $1.50 on this fight. that's how close this fight is. I really don't know who's going to win this one. So I am really... you know, I cannot wait to see how this turns out.
I think I have a penny in my pocket. Do you want to bet?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I'll take your penny and bet anyone's. I'll be happy to take your money and bet on this fight.
Wait, but if I win, you have to give me a penny.
Depends on what the odds are. I don't know if I like the interest on that situation.
Wow.
So, and then we have... Also, later in that fight, we also have one other fight. And do you want to talk about that one?
That other fight is Ashley Evans-Smith versus Ketlin Vieira. And I will let you give your overview of that.
Now, this is a situation where you have two fighters that are pretty much, both are very strong ground fighters. One's a wrestler, one's very strong Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Both of them have good power on their stand-up game. But I'm I'll give you my take a little earlier. I'm taking Ashley Evans-Smith just because Ashley is one of those people that good takedown defense, but can put you up against the fence, do a lot of dirty boxing, a really strong ground and pound. You know, she won her last fight in September by TKO by constantly throwing a lot of elbows. I'm taking Ashley Evans-Smith on this one.
So that would actually be Vieira's first loss because she's 7-0. So that would kind of suck for her.
I mean, both fighters are really, really good fighters. I just... you know, when I start looking at this, and you know, both have, you know, let's say Ashley has three KOs, I can't think of her. How do you say her name again?
Vieira.
Vieira. She has 3 submissions. I just, when I look at it, I just think about who do I say is going to be more, who's going to be tougher, who's going to be more gritty, and that's just Ashley Evans-Smith to me as far as this fight goes. Do you agree, disagree?
I actually agree. I was just being a little bit silly about the first loss. It's also Vieira's, it's only her second UFC fight, so she's only fought once in the UFC, although she dominated in fighting in Brazil. But
yeah, this is a pretty major card. She's not gonna be home. This is the biggest card she's ever been on. Actually, both fighters have been on. I just feel like Ashley is just better cut out and very better suited for this particular fight here. Now, then we also have, there's one other fight that's going to be on a different card, and that's going to be that Bellator 177.
That's actually tonight.
And that is actually tonight. That's actually in about
2.5 hours?
2.5 hours. So by the time this goes on, this is going to be come on right before this event here.
Now, do you have any idea on the time difference? Because this is taking place in Budapest. So if it's 7 o'clock Pacific time, I have absolutely no idea what time that is in Budapest.
I get a strange feeling. There's a bunch of people sitting in the arena with house shoes on and a robe. It's early in the morning. Or really, really late.
Yeah, I hope there's some caffeine.
So... and you want to give the take on who the fighters are? And
sure.
A little bit about them?
So this is Lena. We're just going to go with Lena again because neither of us can pronounce her name. And I apologize. Tate doesn't apologize.
No, not even a second.
So Lena versus Helen.
And give us the stats. Give her kind of
so,
overview of this one.
It's a flyweight. It's the flyweight division. We've got Lena from the Ukraine. Helen is from England. Lena is 11-4-1. Whereas Helen is 4-1, so she's got a little less experience. And it is her Bellator debut. It's Helen's Bellator debut. Mm-hmm. So that gives you a little bit of information about it. Lena, interestingly enough, started her professional career with 8 straight victories. But now, across the last 7 fights, she's 3-4. So she's not doing as well lately.
And you know, I've only seen her fight once and and that was a loss. I wasn't really that impressed. I'm not even going to lie to you, the other fighter I've never seen, had a hard time finding anything on her. So I'm going to go take the lady with I'm just pulling this out of the air, but I'm taking the lady with her Bellator debut just because I've seen I've seen Lena lose, and it wasn't one of the best moments for her. Yeah, I'm gonna go with the opponent that I don't know.
Okay.
All right. No arguments with that one?
I'm not gonna argue with that because, well, I don't know. You know, she's got my middle name.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
That is the worst answer I've ever heard. No. Was it last week or week before last? You had an answer that might have been worse than that one.
You're never going to let me live that down, are you?
What was that?
Participation trophies.
Yeah.
Or medals or whatever it was.
Send your resume to Golden State Media Concepts. Because if anyone wants to give up participation trophies, I need a new co-host.
You might need a new co-host. I just chose a fighter, a win based on her name being the same as my middle name.
So next, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that UFC 210 card.
That was a good card.
That was an excellent card. And all the controversy that went with it. I don't think you can spell New York without controversy. And I use that because, you know, we just was talking about grammar and, you know, I don't know what letter controversy is as far as in the alphabet, but I think it has like one of those Russian little squiggly lines or something like that over.
Really?
Yes. So when we come back, we'll be talking about UFC 210. Stay tuned.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Okay, we're back, and we just got done talking about the upcoming UFC event and some of the fights that are going on that's going to be a part of that. We touched on a little bit, not in detail, but the Bellator 177 matchup. And now we're going to talk about that crazy, crazy card, UFC 210. This card, from start to finish, was nothing but controversy. It started off with a situation where Daniel Cormier ended up missing weight. He stepped off the scale, came back 2-3 minutes later. He was 1.2 pounds over, got off the scale, walked away for two, three minutes, came back, and he was on weight. Everyone's kept talking about how, you know, he was had his hand on the towel and how the towel was able to take off 1.2 pounds. It had to be either the towel or he needs to come out with his new diet program.
How to lose 1.2 pounds in 2 minutes with yes. Daniel Cormier.
Now, what did you, before we get to the other controversy, what do you think the New York State Athletic Association should do? Do you think there's anything, should they do nothing? It's definitely something fishy. What did you think about that weigh-in?
It was a little strange, but afterwards when Daniel was doing a post-fight interview, he said he didn't realize that you had time to come back and re-weigh, which I had never really heard of. Had you heard of that?
Well, you know, once you come in, you have two opportunities to weigh in, but I didn't know that he had, once he weighed in, he had a full, I think, an hour to come back. But Daniel's answer is that he stepped on the scale at his room, and he was right on weight, and then he showed up at the weigh-in, and he was 1.2 over. I believe him. There needs to be something done where all the fighters get a scale that has been calibrated.
Right. And scales are different wherever you go, really.
Yeah, because you can step on a scale. I mean, you can step on the same scale twice and get two different weights just, seconds apart. So I think the thing that should be done, I think this is an opportunity. A lot of people look at this as a bad situation, but this is an opportunity to make things run more efficient. I think every fighter, there's not that many fighters on a card. Every fighter should get a calibrated scale that they can check, and you can either put it by room, or you can just put in each of the locker rooms. There's a calibrated scale that's calibrated to the main scale. So when you step on that calibrated scale, you know without a shadow of a doubt, I am on weight. Instead of, I have a scale from, I have a scale from this place, and I bought another scale from somewhere else, and it's just, it's off. Because if they were calibrated, then you wouldn't have a situation where Daniel is surfing naked with two towels.
Well, I was going to say you'd have hopefully, in theory, fewer situations where people have to strip off completely in order to make weight. They would know going in, or they would be better prepared if they knew, you know, that they were maybe going to be overweight, because the whole, you know, stripping naked is a little bit crazy.
Because I never want to see Daniel Cormier's butt ever again.
It was just the side, thankfully, but that towel did not. So whoever was that towel didn't have a great job.
There's a picture where there's a bad moon rising.
I'm sure there is. See, I don't look into it that much.
That is called horrible journalism.
You know what? I think MythBusters needs to do a episode where they determine if you can lose 1.2 pounds by holding onto a towel.
Oh, I can guarantee. Depending on how much I can step on a scale.
But exactly 1.2 pounds? I mean, that's the thing. That's the funny part, was that it was exactly what he needed to be.
Listen, I'm a big boy. You get enough pressure on that towel, I could be down to 120. It may be a pull-up, but I could get that weight down.
Oh dear!
I'd have a leg over the towel.
Oh, speaking of bad moon rising, it'd be something else then.
Yes. That'd be
Move on.
Moons over my hammy.
We aren't here to talk about the men. We're here to talk about the women.
Okay, and then the second controversy that went down, and I've been looking forward to. I hadn't really talked to you a little bit about this one, but I was definitely kind of curious what you thought. The main controversy that kind of happened was, when you're talking about the other fight, which was Pearl Gonzalez versus Cynthia Calvillo. You always get her name messed up. But I was really looking forward to seeing this fight, but at one point we were told that this fight was off because Pearl Gonzalez had breast implants and that they were not going to let her fight. Then later in the day, they made the decision to give her an exemption and allow her to fight. And so that really, I thought, kind of really threw things off about that one, because I thought, you know, it's really dangerous. I understand why they're worried about the dangers of, like, a breast implant tearing, breaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understood that, but I thought they could have went about things a little sooner than when they did.
Right.
What's your thoughts?
The whole thing's a little odd to me. I mean, first and foremost, why a fighter would even want to take that risk of having the implants, you know, when you're in such an impact sport, that it's very possible that you could have an injury that would result in it's pretty serious to have one of those pop or tear. Results in surgery, could result in a lot of health issues. But I agree with you on the why didn't they do this sooner. It's not like it was, you know, something that was kept hidden from them. They knew about it. But then they announced it, what, the day of or the day before the fight?
No, at the weigh-in.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of last minute saying she couldn't fight. And then with the exemption, I mean, the whole thing was a little sketchy.
Now, as far as, you know, you were asked about why would a fighter do that, there's a couple of reasons. One, you know, it's a personal issue for each fighter.
Yes, absolutely.
No, I respect that part.
I don't diss her for wanting them. I'm just curious from my own perspective.
But, I mean, I was going to say that a lot of times, a lot of fighters that end up getting involved, I mean, let's use Cynthia, for example, and let's talk about her history. You know, she came off of a divorce. She was going through some tough times, and so she decided to go into a gym and, you know, and start, you know, just start working out, and then she ended up loving it. She never thought about, like, hey, you know what, I want to get hit in the face for a living, or I want to get kicked in the chest for a living. So the first thing is, it might, you know, initially getting into MMA, maybe she did not, that was never her game plan. Number two, maybe, you know, because I don't know the history on how she ended up getting them, but the second one would be, did she decide, you know, and I respect the fact that she decided to get them, but she did her due diligence, and the doctor told her that it was perfectly safe. because, you know, her doctor is the reason why she was able to fight, because after Athletic Association ended up talking to her doctor, they agreed to make an exemption and let her fight. So, you know, she was it seemed like she was already prepared for this. So it has already been, I am assuming it's been addressed before, because this was not her first fight. She's had numerous fights before this.
Right. And was this just a rule in New York?
It is just a rule in New York. So
right.
She could definitely fight in other places.
Right.
And the crazy thing about it is it's not an MMA rule, it's a boxing rule, which I think there's the problem with MMA and athletic commissions and associations is they keep making rules and saying boxing and mixed martial arts are, you know, the same thing. They're twins, just, you know, but so we're going to give the same rules because they're not twins.
They're not twins. You know, they're cousins, maybe.
They're cousins, all right, you know, but they're not twins. They're not the exact same sport, and you shouldn't have the exact same rules for each one. So these rules, they should have a set of rules for boxing, set of rules for MMA, and they should not have to be, you pass one for one, it applies to both. So I always have a problem with that. But MMA is so new that some places are having a hard time making that this distinction between the two. Now, let's talk about the fight.
Let's move on from poor Pearl's anatomy.
We're going to move on from Booby Gate. I said it. Sarah didn't.
I didn't say it.
And that is not alliteration. Booby Gate is not alliteration.
No, sir, you are correct. It doesn't rhyme either.
Touche. This is good.
All right, so the fight. Gonzalez versus Cynthia Calvillo.
I'll let you go. What did you think of the fight?
It was a good fight. I mean, I thought... After watching Cynthia in her first fight, in her UFC debut, I was a little worried that Pearl would just get plowed. I mean, just, but I thought Pearl did better than I expected her to, which sounds like a backhanded compliment, but I really do mean that I thought she did pretty well against Cynthia.
I agree with you, and it is a backhanded compliment, but it's true. Up until, other than, you know, doing your research and everything on her, I thought she had fought substandard competition and smaller promotions. She was going up against a lady who, it seems like there's not a stage too big for her, 'cause Cynthia is just calm and cool, and it's like she's having the time of her life and nothing bothers her. So, you know, I thought, number one, you have a situation where Pearl Gonzalez is going into her biggest fight of her career on one of the biggest stages with the toughest fighter of her career, and then you had the controversy with the breast implant. I just thought it was just going to be way too much for her, and I was wrong. She really rose to the occasion. She ended up losing. She ended up losing by rear naked choke, but it wasn't because she didn't put in a really good fight. I mean, she really, really, you know, really took it to her.
Well, and it wasn't in the first round either. I mean, it wasn't like one of those, 30-second knockouts.
No, this was a very competitive fight all the way through. I was super impressed. At one point, she had an arm bar in. She's a tough lady. I'm looking forward to seeing Pearl Gonzalez fight again. Now, Cynthia Carvalho is just awesome. This woman, pressure, I don't think she knows the meaning of being under pressure. She's loving the cameras. She's loving the stage of the octagon. She works well with the media and the press. Even though she's a team alpha male fighter, it's like she just went through and just went to the Diaz School of mixed martial arts. even with the saying, I'm not surprised, MF-er, after the fight, it was like, I'm like, wow, why isn't she? I feel like she should be like the third member of the Diaz clan. That's kind of the way I looked at her.
I can't move on from that image.
She's Diaz's like little pit bull.
But just, even I agree. Even watching her, you know, come in before the fight, just watching the way she walked in to the space.
Why do I keep seeing Diaz's? I don't know why. I swear they like. If you just said, what camp does she fight out of? And you just said left out all, AKA all of them. I'd be like, nope, she's with Cesar Gracie down with the Diaz brothers. You know, she just seems like a Stockton girl. And I don't mean that as a backhanded compliment, but, you know, I mean that.
Backhanded to Cynthia or backhanded to Stockton?
All the above. Stockton's way too close here.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, I was so impressed by how she handled herself. So that was an interesting fight. I look forward to seeing both of these guys because both of them have a future in the UFC. This Pearl will not be a one and done. She can compete with a lot of people in the UFC right now. So, all right, what's the next one?
What's next? So the other women's fight on this card was between Irene Aldana and Caitlin Chookagian.
Now, this fight was a split decision. Do you have the scores from the judges?
So it was scored 28-29, Chookagian, 29-28, Aldana, and 29-29 by the third judge.
This was a good fight. It was really close. I scored this fight exactly the way the judges had it scored, where I had it 29-28, Chookagian. But if it would have been, if it went the other way, I would have had, you know, I wouldn't have second guessed that at all. I mean, when you look at that fight and you say, you know, just looking at the strikes, you know, I think it just kind of says the whole picture, you know. Head strikes, 57-57. So, you know, you look at it and just say, you know, they were connecting at the same rate. Arena had landed a lot more body shots. And then leg kicks were, you know, right about the same, where they were about 31-30. The big difference in the whole fight and the reason why I thought the fight was what won the fight for me was those two takedowns. That's what changed, I thought, was the telltale difference between who won that fight. But, man, I mean, it was definitely a very entertaining fight in my opinion. Do you agree?
I do agree. It felt like those two didn't slow down. I mean, they went three rounds, and they just went all out. Especially kind of after the first fight, the fight that they followed, which seemed a lot slower, you know, the crowd was like, yeah. And then these two came out and it was much more entertaining.
That's one of the things about, I keep saying, it's becoming like a cliche now that no one pays attention to the women and then the women steal the show every single time. That's what started me, you know, campaigning to do this show originally is, there's so many fighters that you never see that you have no clue who they are, and then one day they're on UFC 2, you know UFC 210, and you're like, wow, the best two fights of the night could easily be argued that the women had the best two fights of the night, you know, especially when you look at the controversy that kind of went down with both of the fights, with, you know, Rumble fighting kind of weird and odd, and by trying to wrestle maybe one of the best wrestlers in in the UFC, you know, by trying to wrestle Daniel, being Daniel Cormier, and then at the end, Rumble actually retiring, all the crazy stuff with Chris Weidman and him, getting kneed in the head, and first they're saying it was illegal knees, then it turned out they were legal knees, and then Chris Weidman losing, Gegard winning. The best two fights of the night were the two women.
Well, despite the pre-fight controversy with Pearl, they definitely were lacking in the controversy the rest of the fights were. I mean, good job, women.
Yeah. Pearl said, you know what, the controversy's behind her. She said it wasn't going to faze her at all, and it didn't.
Nope.
That's another reason why I want to see Pearl fight again, is the fact that the matter is, even with this giant spotlight on her, even with this giant controversy on her, when she makes ESPN and it didn't faze her, and even though she lost, she put up a heck of a show. Cannot wait to see Pearl again. With that, we will be back and we'll talk about some other news that's going on in mixed martial arts and women's mixed martial arts.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Back, we just covered that UFC 210 card and kind of our thoughts on it. And now we're going to talk about one of Sarah's favorite things. That's the news.
It is my favorite
talk
thing.
Talk to me, Dan Rather.
Okay, never mind. I was going to come up with a witty, scathing comeback, but
all
I
right,
got nothing.
All right, then.
So.
Connie Chung, then, okay?
What, are you stuck in the 90s?
I even think that could be like
the 80s.
Is that the 80s?
Yeah, it might be.
All right, Katie Couric.
You're showing your age, dude. Okay, anyway.
Wow, you know what? I am, because I didn't come up with anyone. Rachel Maddow.
Rachel Maddow?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
All right.
Anywho.
Hit me, Rachel. Or Sarah. She actually physically hit me. By the way, I just want you, just because there's no cameras in here, I'm telling.
Oh, I really wish there were cameras in here so you could see the dancing that goes on during the commercial breaks. And I'm not talking about mine.
I got to stay loose.
Okay. Anyway,
all right.
News. So it is looking like that Chris Cyborg Jermaine Duranemi fight is not going to happen. Cyborg called out Jermaine, said she wanted to fight her. She had hoped that by fighting her in July that Duranemi would have enough time to recover from some of those injuries she sustained in her last fight against Holly Holm. But
I think isn't it like a kind of an ongoing injury as well?
Yeah, I think so. But whatever it is, it's not looking like she's going to be ready to fight. So Cyborg, not being one to just, you know, sit around and wait for things to happen, has now set her sights on Megan Anderson, which is interesting because when Chris Cyborg vacated her Invicta title, then Megan moved up into she had the interim title. And then she moved up when Cyborg vacated that title. So now she wants to fight Megan, which would then mean that Invicta title gets vacated again if Megan goes over to UFC, if she stayed in UFC. But what do you think about this? I know you love you some Megan Anderson.
Do
you
love
want
me
to
some
see
Megan
her
Anderson.
Fight Cyborg? Because at one point you thought she wasn't ready for Cyborg.
I love it and a little worried because I think the one fighter that can get Chris Cyborg is Megan Anderson. As a matter of fact, there's two fighters that I think could be Cyborg's toughest situation, and that's Jermaine Duranemi and Megan Anderson. And that's Cyborg's next two fights. The reason why I look at Megan Anderson as that tough fight is Megan, every single fight, she gets better and better. Number two, Megan is a very big, strong woman. Powerful kicks, powerful punches. She's just not quite as polished. The problem is, Cyborg is that fighter who, she's very polished, but Cyborg has been the Mike Tyson, the I'm going to barrel you over and just kind of just, you know, run over you and just beat you down to dust. And Megan possesses the power to, I always think about the one, I think it was a Muay Thai fight or a kickboxing fight that she lost like 2 or 3 years ago, where she tried to come in very fast, very strong, very hot, and she got caught and she got dropped. And it changed the whole fight the rest of the time. This is that kind of a fight where Megan is strong enough that she can catch Cyborg coming in. Right now, I don't think Megan is polished enough to beat her. Like, for me to just say, yeah, she'll beat Cyborg. I give Megan more of a puncher's chance against Cyborg right now. Give it a couple years, and I would take Megan over Cyborg. And that sounds crazy, but give it 2 more years. With Megan keep progressing where she's at, and Megan will be the top fighter in that division. But even now, I do give Megan a puncher's chance.
Okay.
Do you have a take on who you think?
Oh, I think that Megan would be good, would have a chance to beat Cyborg. My only concern is that it is a little too soon, that she isn't quite as polished as she could be. I wouldn't want her to take this fight and have it maybe veer the trajectory of her career in certain ways. I suppose she could, you know, she can always go back to Invicta and defend that title, but I don't want it to ruin that trajectory for her to make it in the UFC, if that's what she wants.
Oh, I think it's time for Megan to be in the UFC.
But is this the way for her to come into the UFC? I guess it is. But
yes, you know, absolutely. I would even go as far as to say that, and this is going to be really disrespectful to Jermaine Duranemi, but if I was giving my pound-for-pound rankings for the featherweight division, number one would be Chris Cyborg. Number two would not be Jermaine Duranemi. It would be Megan Anderson. Then Jermaine Duranemi. Then Bud from Bellator. And Holly, which we'll talk about a little later on, is not even in that division anymore. So that would be my top four right there.
Do you want to use that as a segue into our next story, which does involve Holly?
That is called trained journalism. Or alliteration.
Or improper grammar. We don't know.
Wait, for anyone that's listening to this, I truly do know what alliteration is. So don't hold this episode against me. I'm just goofing around.
Also, I come from a family of crazy grammar people. And
I thought you were going to say of illiterates.
No. We're just, you know, we're word people, and we like words, and we like to read, and we like grammar, and we correct each other on grammar all the time. And so when I do it, it's not because I'm being jerky to you. It's just a little sign of love.
I hate you.
I hate you, too. Holly Holm. It turns out, you know, we talked about Holly a few episodes ago and that she might be returning to fight in that Singapore UFC Fight Night 111 in Singapore. But while she is possibly probably going to be fighting on that card, it is not with the opponent that we were talking about last time. She is returning to the weight class. She briefly left, you know, to do that title fight.
Bantamweight. Okay.
Bantamweight. Thank you. And now she is going to be fighting Bej Kohea
versus Holly Holm. This is the perfect fight.
And it was confirmed, let me just say.
It is a confirmed fight, yes.
Because
this is the perfect fight for Holly Holm. it's the perfect fight for Bej Kohea as well. You have Holly coming off of a 3-fight losing streak, losing, you know, she's lost to some very tough fighters, but she's coming off a 3-fight losing streak. Bej is coming off of a 2-fight winning streak, won by a split decision, a very controversial win. But Bej has been looking good. She's super tough. She'll be able to apply a lot of pressure to Holly. But this is that fighter that Holly will be the bigger, stronger fighter. She'll be the fighter with better footwork, better pedigree as far as boxing and standing. Bej is not going to try to take her to the ground, which is Holly's weak spot. Holly, this is tailor made for Holly. If Holly doesn't win this one, then Holly's in deep trouble in the UFC. I think Holly will be in major trouble if she doesn't win. If Bej wins this fight, she's right back in the thick of things as far as being considered for an opponent for that bantamweight title that Amanda Nunes holds. With coming off 2 wins, a win against Holly Holm would be enough to get her as in line for that title shot. Now, as far as my take on who I think will win, and I'm one of the few people that when you hear people talk about Bej Kohea, there's not a lot of people that are like big fans of hers, but I'm one of them. I like Bej. I like her intensity. And so, you know, I really like her, but I love Holly Holm as well. But, yeah, I got Holly winning this one, and I got Holly winning it kind of easy.
Okay. And you mentioned that Bej had her last decision, her last fight was a decision, and that was against Marion Renault. And
yes.
At first it was thought that they'd have a rematch, but, I don't know if they'll eventually
have a
rematch.
I would have been totally open for that fight. Renault, I mean, it was close. It was really close. I would love to see that fight again. They match up super well. That fight is a better matchup for Bej than Holly. I think Holly's just too much range and just too her footwork. I mean, I keep going back to Holly's footwork, but her footwork is what made her, you know, to have a big lead on Miesha Tate going down the stretch, and then she ended up getting submitted, and that's what made her win against Ronda Rousey is the footwork. Bej has never ran into someone who has that kind of footwork. That could be a tough one. But if Holly, if Bej can push her up against the cage, a lot of dirty boxing, rough Holly up, it could be a long night. I think it could be an interesting fight. But, yeah, I still got Holly as the winner.
I do, too.
Okay, I was just going to say, you are not escaping this one without giving a winner here. How do you see this winning? How do you see Holly winning then?
Now that I am never good at predicting. I'm always wrong. But like what you said about her footwork, I think she's got amazing footwork. She's just incredible to watch. But she also has some surprises, like that kick that took out Ronda. You know, I don't think anybody saw that coming. Ronda certainly didn't.
Holly has some powerful kicks, and that's
she does.
If you know, I see. I don't think Holly has the punching power to knock out Bej kind of like Ronda did, but if Bej drops her hands and she gets nailed, Holly can put you to sleep with one of those kicks. I always think about Rashad Evans talking about how he was sparring with Holly and, you know, he thought he was going to take it light, and then Holly ended up kicking him in the head like so hard. He was so shocked at how hard she can kick, and he was trying to play it off, and he's shaking his head like, okay, yeah. And you know, but Holly has power in those kicks.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes Holly dangerous. I have a I'm taking Holly. I'm reconsidering. I'm taking Holly by decision. It's going to go the distance. I think bitch will just try to smother her to death and try to make it an ugly, tough, gritty fight. And as long as she can keep the close that distance, she can make it a tough fight. If Bitch gives her any room, Holly will put her to sleep.
All right. So moving on, this story I'm actually pretty excited about because it is someone that we had on the MMA show. That was before this show was in existence. But it turns out that Agnieszka Niejewicz is coming back on to fight on May 20th at Invicta FC 23. And I like Agnieszka. I'm excited that she's coming back.
First off, let's talk Invicta. Anytime Invicta announces a card, it's like Christmas to me. I don't know why. I get all excited about Invicta and their events, and they never disappoint. They haven't. I can't remember ever being disappointed in an Invicta card. It's a Invicta's a small promotion, but it's one of my. It's probably my second favorite promotion. I mean, that's how much I like Invicta. And then Agnieszka, a friend of the MMA show. Agnieszka is the Polish fighter that no one really knows in mainstream, but Agnieszka is a very tough fighter. She's very game. She's stepping up in competition.
I should mention that she is fighting Brazil's Vanessa Porto.
And Vanessa, who's coming off of a loss. She lost in the last Invicta event she was in. This is a good fight for both of them. I think Agnieszka's just going to be too much for her. Agnieszka, each time she just gets better and better. I think she applies the pressure. She's not afraid of anyone. And I just think she's just going to be too much. I'm looking forward to seeing that. What other fights are on that card?
So the other fights, do you want me to just go through them?
Yeah, let's see what else is on there. I was just going to say just announce the card and the weight classes. I'm just kind of
curious. So flyweight, that's Vanessa Porto and Agnieszka Niejewicz. Also flyweight, Roxanne Modafferi versus Sarah DeLelio.
The Happy Warrior. Yeah. We're looking forward to seeing her. She's the Happy Warrior has been a longtime MMA veteran and probably one of the most popular non-UFC fighters out there. So she's been around a long time, not being color old.
Although she did fight on her birthday last time.
Yes, she did.
So
matter of fact, it was a title shot, too.
Not that it makes her old, but.
Yes.
At atomweight, we have Herika Tibercio, maybe Tibercio, versus Tessa Simpson.
I'm very familiar with Tessa. Tessa's very tough.
Okay. Bantamweight is Elizabeth Phillips versus Kelly Fashholz.
Yes, okay. Elizabeth Phillips is another lady that I'm looking forward to seeing that fight.
Another flyweight bout, Andrea KGB Lee versus Liz Tracy.
Angela Lee, one of my absolute favorite people in women's mixed martial arts. As a matter of fact, we had just reached out to Andrea Lee just recently, and we're hoping to have her. She agreed to come onto the show and actually be a guest. So we're hoping to have her on within the next, probably by next week or week after, we're hoping to have her on. But Andrea Lee is never boring. And one of my favorite looks and one of my, just a tough fighter, but one of the most unique looks where you have the nickname Andrea KGB Lee. Awesome nickname.
But then
you have this the cowboy hat, and I'm like, okay, how do you put a cowboy with KGB? It's like the U.S.-Russia summit happened, and they had a baby, and it was KGB Lee. So
her parents might be interested to hear that.
She's uniting worlds. That's all I'm saying. She's uniting worlds. But I cannot wait to see her fight back in Invicta. That's where I love seeing that she's fighting back in Invicta.
And then the last announced fight for that night is at strawweight, and that's Tiffany Van Zost.
Okay.
Versus Christine Ferreira.
Ferreira, I've seen fight. I haven't done my homework because this catch kind of. I just got this today, so I haven't done any homework on it. I remember her fighting, but I cannot tell you much about either one of those fighters right now. I'll have to dive into it a little bit more. All right. And then anything else you have before we wrap up news?
Yes, I think we have a couple more things. So UFC 211, that will be May 13th in Dallas. And Jessica Aguilar will be meeting Courtney Casey.
This is going to be a good fight. I think Aguilar is coming off of a loss. And I think maybe Courtney Casey's coming off a loss. Is that correct? You remember?
I don't remember, but I can try to look it up real quick.
But my whole point is these because Aguilar, she took a little time off.
Yes, and Casey did lose. She lost to. Sorry, I'm not speaking into my microphone. Gadleha.
Gadalia.
Okay, I'm going to go with you on that one.
and Gadalia is one of the if it wasn't for Joanna Jędrzejczyk, I would say Gadalia would be the champion. So I you know, in the strawweight division, that's how good Gadalia is. So, I mean, but this matchup is, I just think they're both well matched up. It's a fight that will be fun to watch.
They actually both lost to Claudia Gadalia.
Well, I think everyone.
No, in their last fight.
Oh. I told you they both lost. But you can't, you know, looking around and saying, I lost to Claudia Gadalia,
it's not a bad thing.
No. I'm serious. If you created and moved the Joanna up to flyweight and then said, okay, that title's vacant and you had a tournament. My money truly would go on Claudia Gadalia being champion. So that's how good Gadalia is. So there's nothing wrong with losing to Claudia Gadalia. So this will be a very interesting fight. Looking forward to seeing it. And the 210 card should be pretty full, right?
211.
211. We just saw 210.
Yeah, that's the card that Stipe. Is fighting on, fighting Junior Dos Santos.
I care more about that co-main event.
Well, the co-main event, that's Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Jessica Andrade.
Who'd you say again?
Hey, I said it this time.
No. You just say Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Oh, Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's just awesome. Just an impressive fighter that... You know, you just mentioned her. If she's showing up at Foot Locker, I'm going to set up and pay attention.
it's a good card. Damian Maia fighting Jorge Masvidal, Frankie Edgar and Yair Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eddie Alvarez facing Dustin Poirier.
And Dustin Poirier is a good fighter, but that's going to be a really that's a really fun card to watch. You know, when you're talking about the whole situation where you're looking around, and where's the card at again?
The card is on this.
I was just going through my notes here.
Over here.
Okay. Sorry, as I'm just going through and just looking at some of the fights. The Joanna card is the one that that I'm just truly looking forward to seeing here. But no, this will not be a boring card whatsoever. So with that, we're going to... Oh, no, we actually got one more story, right?
We do, if you want to take time for one more story.
Okay, I'll take time for one more.
All right.
Okay.
This is from something that people might not have... About a fighter that a lot of people might not have heard of. Jazzy Gabert. And if I'm pronouncing her name wrong, I apologize. She is making her Ryzen debut, fighting Gabby Garcia.
Okay. What else do you have on this fight?
So she's a German fighter, and she has been fighting for over 15 years, it looks like, in professional wrestling. But she switched to MMA in the last year, and she won in October. And so She's quoted as saying that she didn't feel her performance against her opponent was perfect, but she was pleased that she was able to actually win. And so now she is fighting, Gabby Garcia. And
Gabby Garcia is actually a good fighter, actually. Gabby's going to give her a run for her money, that's for sure. I will say this. What's that again?
Oh, no, sorry.
Oh, the one thing I will say is, and this is not me piling on CM Punk or anything like that, but I always think it is a lot smarter to start off in a smaller division. And Ryzen's a great organization, but if you're going to cut your teeth and become a women's contend to be a women's MMA fighter, I say it's better to start off in a smaller division with competition that's going to be more on your level, instead of jumping right in and saying, "Oh, she's a professional wrestler. She has a big following. Oh, let's stick her in the ring right now, and let's bring her along fast." It's best to bring her along slow, and hone those skills in before moving her up to the next level or moving her into Invicta or anything like that. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I will definitely check it out and go from there. Do we have anything else on the news, Sarah?
We are done with the news. I'm sure there's lots more out there, but, we can only cover so much.
Yes, we are done with the news, and that means we are done with the show.
Wow, that was very definitive.
Thank you very much. See, I got that voice.
Yeah.
Not really, but...
I only have that voice when I have bronchitis.
Or you can smoke like 20 packs of cigarettes and get you every time.
My lungs hurt just thinking about that.
And on that, we are out of here. Thank you for tuning in. Remember, any comments, questions, anything you'd like for us to talk about, don't hesitate to give us a... you can always just go to Twitter and send us a message. We're always looking.
You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr. We're all over.
And I'm going to leave. Before I leave, I have never, ever looked at Tumblr. Everybody, I'm not even going to lie to you. I never look at Tumblr, but apparently people do. And
well, you're just admitting that you don't update the Tumblr webpage or our Tumblr account.
I do absolutely, positively nothing with Tumblr. I don't even spell Tumblr. And with that, we are out.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.